Welcome to this interview. I'm Megan Gibson, co-host of the Anxiety Super Conference. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Sue Mortar, an international speaker, celebrated author, teacher, and doctor with over 30 years of experience bringing together ancient wisdom traditions with cutting-edge quantum science. Her highly praised The Energy Codes guide you to unprecedented levels of self-expression, health, and healing. Dr. Sue's visionary models and techniques ignite an entirely new approach to assessing creative genius and living from personal freedom. Dr. Sue Mortar, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Megan. It's wonderful to be here. I can't wait to see where we get to go with our conversation. I always love it.
So I mentioned in your intro, creative genius, and I know from personal experience that one of the first things to go when I'm suffering from anxiety is my ability to access fun and creativity. So I would love to hear how the Energy Codes helps with that.
Great question. So one of the things that happens when we begin to move into our heads and overthink and get freaked out and start worrying and start projecting into the future about what might happen or what's going on, or maybe we don't even have clear thoughts. Nonetheless, we are living up here trying to figure it out and not feeling safe and trying to survive. And when that happens, we are leaving the body behind and we're jumping up here into the head. Now, on a bioenergetic level, what that means is that we're jumping out of our body and we're not embodied. So we're not anchored and grounded and integrated in any way. And so what the energy codes do are teach people how to get back in their body so that their head doesn't have this chance to just create the runaway train. So I liken it like to the old window blinds that would, if you pulled it down, it had this little string with a little plastic ring on it. You pulled it down and tugged on it just so, it would be perfect. And as long as nobody came in the room and the wind didn't blow or nobody shut the door too fast, it would stay. But as soon as somebody does, so this is what happens with the human system. We get to a place of peace. We get to our centered, grounded state. And as long as nobody comes in the room or nothing happens, we can stay there. And when somebody comes in that pushes our buttons or trips triggers, et cetera, and there's a reason for that. But when it does happen, if we don't know what to do with that, what ends up occurring is we, just like the window blind, right back up into our heads again. And so it's really about us learning how to ground and integrate and stay in the body so that our thoughts become more grounded and become more in tune with nature instead of man-made story stuff that we get conjuring up all too easily. So I can go in any direction with any of that you would like to go, and I'll stop there and see where it would best serve.
Yeah. And it was a good and validating description of the experience of anxiety. Right. And I can definitely say that that's true for me as well, that, you know, the disconnection from the body and also, you know, when you're trying to bring it back, you're like, okay, well, how does my body feel? And you're like, oh, I don't know, you know, nauseous, or, you know, it's not an actual feeling. It's more like a symptomology. Right. So I would love to hear more about the energy codes and kind of an example of how you would get somebody started if they came to you kind of in that state and they were like, I'm suffering from a lot of anxiety. Kind of walk me through how the energy codes might help with that.
Sure. So just keep this in mind. The energy codes are ways that we embody, ways that we get into the body so that we can use the body for what it's built to do. And it's built to help us filter a lot of information. And different aspects of the body are capable of facilitating that. And low in the belly is a great place where a lot of facilitation can happen. It has a grounding effect. Our deep core wisdom is the gut feeling through billions of bits of information that are bombarding this energy system that we are every millisecond. They arrive, these bits of information don't arrive straight to our head. They actually arrive to the skin and the surface of the cells of the body, where there are, through the study of epigenetics, we know this, that there are little antennas on the surface of every cell that are receiving information and then translating that information into chemical impulses and neurotransmitters and synapses that begin in the gut up through the vagus nerve, et cetera. So what we want to do is to come down in here where this information is being alchemized and and we can tap our wisdom. So a way to do that is a simple belly breath, which might be surprising to someone that it could do all that. Well, it does all that and more. It actually activates the part of the nervous system that is responsible for calming us down and allowing creative genius to surface again. The lower lobes of the lungs are innervated with parasympathetic nerve endings. And the parasympathetic nervous system is the part of the nervous system that calms us down and allows us to know that the battle is over, the emergency is gone, the bear is gone, the war is done, and allows us to relax. And if that part of the nervous system is being activated, then you know we're just still running along as if the bear is still chasing us, and perhaps the bear has been gone for 10 years. But every so often we start getting the same sensations and it triggers us right back in to running from the bear that's not even there anymore. So belly breathing, deep belly breath, not up in your chest, because in the upper lobes of the lungs, we activate the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight or flight. So low belly breathing. The lower lobes of the lungs are also highly vascularized, lots of blood vessels. So we oxygenate the blood faster when we breathe low in the belly. So big belly breath is you inhale and your belly gets big Buddha belly, just big belly on the inhale. And on the exhale, we pull the navel back to the spine, inhaling and exhaling. So breath work is a part of what we're doing with the energy codes, but there's much more to it. But that is definitely a place that I would start with someone. I can give you a couple of more if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to note that, you know, just today, we had a lot of energy this morning and it wasn't anxiety yet, but I could feel that it was building. Like I was like riding kind of a wave and just stopped to myself. And I was like, when's the last time I like released the tension in my belly? Right. Cause you can get like in that unconscious work state and everything's kind of tensed up. Our shoulders get tense. Like you said, if you try to take a deep breath, you go with the shoulders, right? And instead of like loosening all that up and just like allowing my belly to literally Buddha belly, like you just said, like just to relax it for a second and take a few deep right. breaths. I can't understate, like it's visceral to me because I just had the experience this morning of just like, oh my gosh, just pause and release all that tension, take a few deep breaths. Like the bottom part of the lungs, everything that you said really resonated with me. And they talk in yoga about kind of breathing into the back of the lungs, like expanding your back so far that it gets down into the lower lungs and it's all so restorative. But yeah, I'm ready to hear another tip.
Yes, indeed. So there are additional ways that we can start to work with the energy of our system that helps to ground it and helps to allow it to smooth out and be more in aligned with alpha frequency, which is the earth and the ocean and, you know, these beautiful things about nature that we love so much. There's a certain vibration to that. There's a certain energetic associated with it. And when we come into our body, the body actually operates very similarly in terms of the vibrational frequency as the earth. So the body is more close to alpha frequency, and the mind, when it gets going, goes up into beta and even into gamma when it's super freaking out and anxious and writing stories and all that is happening. And so we want to slow it down. So if we slow the breath down, it slows the mind down. So I liken this to a ceiling fan that's spinning so fast, you would never stick your finger through it. It's just spinning and spinning and spinning. You wouldn't stick your finger through it because you know it would hurt. So what we're doing, the mind operates this way. And so it's moving like this, but the true essential self, the truth of us, the one who actually is okay, whether they know it or not, the one who is the eternal self, the essence, the one behind the scenes, the great observer version of us, is actually operating on a frequency kind of like this. So we have this rapid moving mind and we have this soulful essence that is this true self, two totally different radio stations. And so what we have to do is slow the mind down. Slow it down so that this can be in tandem with our true nature. And when it is in tandem with our true nature, we can get above the mind, beyond the mind, and know that I am bigger than the circumstances that I am in right now. And even if I'm not equating my anxiousness with a particular situation, maybe I just woke up and I felt it. The fact that we slow the breath down and spread out the space between the breaths allows for enough spaciousness for this observing mind to have a way to come up and out beyond the story writing, freaking out version of us. It's only a portion of us that is anxious. The truth of us is actually never anxious. It's the performing personality or the protective personality or the ego or the false self that gets anxiety, that gets anxious to that degree. It's the part of us that doesn't know who and what we truly are. When we start to get those two parts together, now we're living a different life. Now we're in a totally different ballgame, and we don't have to work with strategies to keep anxiety at bay. We're healing the need for anxiety to even exist. And anxiety exists when someone is not really identifying with their true self, and they are hooked in to the version of themselves that somehow believes they're not enough, or they should be different, or circumstances should be different, or I'm in danger, or whatever the case may be. And so slowing the breath down allows for this version of us to come up and out and actually be in our world, to actually have a life and to actually start to engage and to merge the two together. So far we have belly breathing and then slowing the breath down. And there's a third thing that I really love to drop into the conversation because it changes people's efforts so intensely, so robustly in such a short period of time that I find it to be one of the most helpful things that people can do to stay in the body, to come down into the body instead of living in their heads. And belly breathing starts to do that, but there's a way to kind of anchor ourselves low in the body so that we are constantly receiving the benefits that the body offers up in filtering all of this energy. And so it has to do with I call them anchor points, and they're in the book. The anchor points are, here's a simple one. A simple anchor point in the body is to roll your shoulders back, pull your shoulder blades together and drop them down. As we do that, it opens the heart space. It seats us into the spinal area, which connects us to the bony system, which has a greater sense of solidity to it, like something to count on, something I can feel. When I take it to the bone, when I know something to the bone, I know it. So this starts to anchor us. There's actually a ligament in the pericardial sac that starts to attach to the diaphragm and attaches to the spine, which allows us to feel this anchoredness, which is a grounding capacity that we can accentuate. So that's an anchor point. Another anchor point is something that is kind of like a Kegel exercise. It's kind of contracting the musculature in the base of the pelvic bowl and then releasing it and contracting it and releasing it and squeezing it and releasing it. And what that does is it draws our energy down to the base of the spine. And at the base of the spine, we house so much extra energy that never gets utilized. It is the energy of Kundalini energy. If someone has studied yoga or breathing techniques from Eastern traditions, it is the integrator, the weaver together. It is a beautiful healer within. And if we're not living in our body, we can't possibly activate that energy and allow it to play a role in our lives. It has a soothing capacity. It has an all-knowing wisdom sort of characteristic to it. And it puts pieces of us together again. Like sometimes we're wise and sometimes we're empowered and sometimes we're loving and sometimes we can speak our truth and sometimes we feel creative and sometimes we feel like we belong or we're connected to God or nature. But what we really want is to be connected to all of those things and have access to them anytime, whenever it's appropriate, whenever we need. And the reason that we don't have access to those things is, number one, because we're living in our heads and we're not down here activating these energies. So the way to do this is as if you were going to the bathroom and you had to stop the stream quickly, you'd squeeze certain muscles to make that happen. So if you just squeeze those muscles, like right now, if everybody just squeeze those muscles and then squeeze it like with all you've got, like give it a good squeeze, and then kind of relax it by one half and then relax it by one half again, right there is a perfect amount of squeezing and then release it and then squeeze just that amount and then let it go and then squeeze that amount and let it go and then squeeze it and kind of hold it for a minute and then see if you can hold that and take a belly breath. People's minds are going to be like, I don't know if I'm squeezing or releasing or what do I do? Try to create the difference, the pressure difference between that squeeze of the musculature and then inhaling. And that resistance right there allows us to feel ourselves in our core of our body. And when we can feel ourselves in the core of our body, anxiety, boom, 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 it just starts to settle. It's just like if you're anxious and somebody puts their hand on your shoulder, like it just feels better. Just if somebody just touches you, it's just like for a lot of kinesthetic people, that's tremendously helpful. Or if someone's feeling anxiety, if they're an auditory person, if somebody just says, hey, you're fine. I'm right here with you. I love you. Something like that. Boom. We're just like, oh God, thanks for bringing me back to earth. You know, I don't know where I was orbiting with my mind and my thoughts. Or if we're visual and we just see someone smile, how it calms us, that these are the same kinds of things that we can do on the inside. If there's nobody around to hug us or to tell us we're going to be okay or to give us that loving smile, if there's nobody there, we can do that. And so these kind of squeezing the shoulder blades and dropping them down, squeezing this, it's called Mula Bandha, and it's just the root lock. It's just pulling the energy down to the lower tip of the spine and allowing this groundedness to be felt. And then if we can sit down in there and take a breath, everything starts to draw energy from this overthinking mind and draw it down into the heart space and draw it down into the belly. And when we're in the belly, even beneath the heart, anxiety starts to change instantly. And the more we can sit there and breathe, the more we start to harmonize these energies of our system out in a way that allows us to realize, you know, I was on a runaway train and I don't need to be on that runaway train. I could just sit here and take an inventory. Am I okay in this moment? If I'm okay in this moment, I'm actually okay. Like in this moment, yeah, but I'm worried about tomorrow. This thing is coming. I know, but in this moment, am I actually okay right now in this moment? And when we check in, we actually are. We are okay in the moment. Even if we're feeling anxious, if you just ask that question, okay, there's a fourth tip. If you just ask the question, I know I'm worried about this, or I know that this feeling is all here, but if I just check in my body and do some of these things to get me in my body and just ask this simple question, am I okay right now? Just in this moment, am I okay? Like I could be not okay in a minute from now, but right now, am I okay? And the answer will be yes, because in the now moment, we are all fine. We actually are fine. We just have to get off of that ceiling fan that's spinning so fast, or that runaway train, how we've been referencing it, just long enough to tell the subconscious, you know what? We don't have to be doing this. I have the right to be relaxed. It's okay if I relax. It's actually okay. So I'll stop there and see where you want to go. As you can see, I can go for like days on end.
No, it's fantastic. I'm so glad. Yeah, thank you. All of that was so great because it also supported something that I was thinking of while you were talking, which is that often one of the problems when people have anxiety is that their intuition goes offline, right? Because that what you said earlier, you know, gut instinct, gut feeling, mm-hmm. right? If one of the symptoms of your anxiety is that you're nauseous or that your gut, you know, you've got gastrointestinal issues or all these symptoms that feel like their gut problems are actually all, you know, serotonin related and all the messages that your gut is getting from your brain. And taking all of the thought brain offline and anchoring yourself in a gut activity that will stop that thinking, you know, hamster wheel and get you into a place of kind of embodied groundedness is so, and I love the way that you said kind of get it in sync with that kind of higher self, the part of you that is never in the monkey mind mode, getting it back in sync so that you can actually hear, because that's what your intuition is, right? It's listening, being able to sync up with those with that wavelength, being able to sync up with those messages, being able to actually hear them because your mind is quieted down enough. And so I feel like those are all great. And I know that when I had anxiety in the past, exercise was such a huge part of my management of it because it was the only thing that would quiet my mind down. But this is a way that I don't have to go for 60 minutes, sweat my butt off in the Florida heat and exert a bunch of like physical energy and calories and, you know, personal hygiene maintenance problems. I can just sit in my chair and do everything that you just instructed me to do and take that, take my mind back, get it back in my body, and really help myself move forward.
Yes, there are, we're preempting it. You know, with how we're speaking about it right now is we're removing the necessity for anxiety. We're removing the opportunity for anxiety because anxiety gets created when the mind separates off from the body and is out here doing its own thing, spinning. And the mind is built to serve something greater than itself. And that thing that it's supposed to be serving is our own highest self. The higher self is what the mind is supposed to be stewarding. It's supposed to be listening and magnifying what the soul wants, what the true essence wants. It's supposed to be here to steer and help make decisions so that this message that's rising inside of me, this intuition, this gut feeling that's rising inside of me, has a chance to get out there and manifest itself. And that's what the mind's job is supposed to do. But when the mind isn't connected to the body, the mind is out here becoming devoted to itself. It starts writing stories because it doesn't know what else to serve. So it starts serving its own story that it creates because it's built to serve something greater than itself. So it's so wonderful when we can really unpack this and look at it from a bigger picture perspective and have an understanding of how it all fits together. Then all of the little tidbits that we've gotten caught up in that we try to do to compensate for the fact that I'm already, you know, in this anxious state, we could spend those same moments learning how to really abolish the invention of anxiety and allow the mind to be operating in a much more valuable way and serving something other than just, you know, creating more and more of an ability to survive. Is we don't have to be obsessed with survival, as it turns out. We're okay.
Yeah. And it's such a, I mean, what a motivating opportunity as well. You know, like so much of anxiety management or anxiety, I'm just going to say management because I can't think of the other word I was thinking of, but is about avoidance, right? And so many of the speakers that we've had have not championed avoidance. They're like, obviously, that's not what you should do. We need to go to the center of the issue. But what we're doing is... right. And an option that plenty of people use. That's how they get to this conference. Yeah. But like, and I've been guilty of that in the past, but it requires so much energy to maintain that level of avoidance and management of symptoms and
the universe, right? You have to manage everybody so that everything is under control so that you don't have to keep, like a hot potato hopping around. You just have to control your entire environment.
And everyone in it. Yeah. And the future, right? And it's, yeah. And it's exhausting. And so to reclaim that energy, as you said, to serve that higher purpose, to serve what it is that your brain was built to do in a way that's going to serve others and give your greatest gifts to the world. Like that's super motivating to me. I'm like, oh, you know, because if it's just me making myself and my family miserable, that's not motivating enough for me to take care of my anxiety and circumvent it and abolish it altogether. But if it's about me getting all that brain power back to serve the greater purpose that my brain and my soul were intended to serve, like, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah.
I'm in. Definitely.
Exactly. So I know that you said the body will offer up solutions that the mind alone cannot, but can you elaborate on that and why paying attention to our bodies is essential to our health and well-being?
Sure. Yeah. You know, so what I'm saying is that there literally are billions of bits of information that are coming at us every millisecond. It's constantly coming, not just the media and that kind of information, but like universal intelligence, like cosmic information is truly coming in all the time. And that's why we have gut feelings. And it's why we have knowings, inner knowings. And we need to learn how to allow that to be a constant state of communication, because it comes into the gut, it rises to a brain and the heart, And then it rises to the brain in our head. And so we have neurotransmitters in the heart that are the same as the neurotransmitters that are in the brain. And they're also in the gut. And so we realize that we're just a walking, talking, breathing ability to translate energy into chemistry, into images, into ideas, into knowings. And when we learn to live in the body is offering up information constantly that the analytical mind cannot possibly educate itself enough to know ahead of time. And so another thing that is super helpful for anxiety is to learn how to live in the body in this way and learn how to translate this information so that when it's time to make a decision, we know what our decision is. We don't have to go ask six friends, and we don't have to, you know, pontificate and deliberate on it for days and sleepless nights and, you know, get in the fret of that kind of thing. We have a knowing. The only question is, are we in touch with the knowing or are we disconnected? And we have to learn how to get and stay connected. And it's by staying connected to the body with the mind so that the body can translate this information and the mind can pick up on it so that we know in an instant, this is right for me, or this is no, thank you, no. And we don't have to go through the entire gyration that we do to ever come up with an answer. You know, living with indecision is one of the number one things that that create anxiety, because we're constantly having to live out multiple scenarios at the same time. Do I do this? If I do this, this will happen. Do I do this? Because if I do this, this and this and this will happen. Or is there this other thing I'm supposed to do? And if I do that, this and this and this will happen. So now the conscious and the subconscious are trying to keep all these plates spinning at the same time. And there is nothing more disembodying to us than trying to pontificate six possibilities all at once. And the irony is, if we were living in the body, if we were anchored in, you know, there are many anchor points those were just a couple that I was speaking about. If we were anchored in the body until we familiarize ourselves with how it feels to be living there, upon which case we would never leave the body again because it feels like home. It feels so good. And we don't have that feeling when we're living in our heads. We're not comfortable. We're not relaxed. We don't feel like that warm, fuzzy blanket around us. It's not okay. It's hard and we're trying to make it work. And so if as we learn to live in the body, this translating of information is constantly available. It's constantly available, and we know what to do and we know what to say, and it happens and it works and it rolls out this path in our lives that is lovely to walk, to live. It's our true path. It's not this path that we're trying to carve and chisel and make it hard and you have to struggle to make it work and to be successful. It's all a bunch of lie that got generated by us when we were not living in our bodies. And the few of us that were successful said, well, this is how you do it. You got to get up every day and you got to make it happen. And because that's how it worked for them. But I know lots and lots of patients and clients over the years that have tried to do that only to end up even more anxious because they did everything they said they were taught that they were supposed to do, what their mentor told them or whatever.
What was modeled for them, yeah.
It was modeled. And it doesn't work for them. And now they have anxiety on top of their anxiety because what's wrong with me? It's not working for me. And it's apparently working for everybody else. And it's just a crazy mess that we can stop any moment. And when we do, we come home to ourselves and we start to recognize that decisions are actually easy. And I don't have to waste energy on indecision. And I don't have to live in this in-between the worlds kind of way. I can bring it all right here into this world, in this life, in this body, in this person. And I have enough to do what it takes to feel the way I want to feel. That when we are identified, I'll just lastly say this and then see where you want to go. But when we are living in our heads, we are living as a separate part of us. We're not living as the whole self. The mind is only a version of who, it's only a portion of who we are. And when we are identifying as the mind, instead of as the soulful essential self that has a mind, when we think that we are that the mind is the be all end all, what happens is we constantly feel inadequate because the mind isn't the whole self. It's always going to feel inadequate because in and of itself, it is inadequate. So if we can pull the mind back onto the body, now it's mind and body. And when we can pull the mind onto the body and be conscious about our breath, now it's mind and body and breath working as one. And when they're working in an integrated fashion, we feel more comprehensive. We feel more complete. We don't feel inadequate anymore because we are tapping into all of the vibrational frequencies of our true system. We're not leaving two-thirds of it behind and jumping over here into the mind boat and then wondering why we don't feel whole. We don't feel whole because we're not allowing our wholeness to be in the mix. So I love teaching people how to get our wholeness back together again in our conscious awareness and allow all of the energies to work together. The body works in alpha frequency. Spirit breath is the comprehensiveness of all of the bandwidths that we know of energies, frequencies to study. And the mind is operating in a segmented version over here. So if we're only operating from the mind, we're only tapping into a small portion of who we are. Actually, I have an image here. Let me see. I just saw it as I was mentioning that I might want to use it. And here, right here. So this is just a simple little schematic, but it's going to show us we are this entire energy system. We think this is who we are and that we have this energy field around us. Actually, this is who we are. And we create a body and jump into it. And then that's how we operate here in this dimension on Earth, in the third dimension. But actually, we are made of energy. We are a quantum energy system. Spirituality would talk about it and say, you are spirit. Quantum science would say you are energy. And we're saying, yes, you're both. That's the same, two different people saying the same thing. All right. So this energy is us coming into a body. We are coming into a body. And this red line here represents the mind. The mental body is this red line. And look at what a small portion of the whole system that red line is. Now, the red line can make it or break it because it's the one that decides we're not enough. And it's the one that pushes away, you know, more opportunities and does all sorts of things to create a little box that we live in. And it's a very limited version of life. And so what I'm teaching people to do is to access all of this and to learn how to feel and sense and perceive this and to use the body to actually learn to feel it. And so a byproduct is we start waking up to the fact that the mind is just a tool that I have. It's not who I am. Just because my mind is freaking out doesn't mean anything other than the fact that my mind is freaking out. And I know how to calm my mind down. I bring it back onto me, onto the true self. And immediately the mind feels like it's being held. And it slows down and it stops freaking out so much. And so these are some of the principles that I like to enter into when working with people with anxiety, because anyone can change it. It's not about learning better coping skills. It isn't, even though they're very helpful and they're very beneficial in the now moment. It's really about understanding where anxiety comes from and how we can do something about that so that it doesn't have a chance to birth itself again as an energy that takes over our day or our week or our month or our life. Because I know people that are really plagued with these things that, you know, in my clinic for 30 years, it was probably one of the most common things that people would end up seeing me for and commenting on. Actually, they wouldn't come for that. They would come for some pain pattern that was in their body and their life. And they would notice that while that was healing, they also felt calmer. They just felt okay. And so they would start inquiring, you know, why? I came for neck pain, headaches, digestive issues, And all of a sudden I feel like a different person and my pain is gone. And it was because we started working with these systems in this way and started integrating the whole system back together again. And when that integration happens, we're not anxious. We're joyous. Our true nature is joy. So if joy is not happening, there's a darn good reason. And the best news is there's something we can do about it. Not just to placate it or to cover up the symptoms or medicate or whatever. It's really causal. We really have to learn as a species to get back in touch with our nature and work at the causal level rather than treating symptoms.
Before we get any further, I feel like we could go, I have lots of follow-up questions. We could go another hour, but I'm conscious of time. Where can people find out more about the energy codes and you and your work?
Okay. Megan, first of all, I have to say, I just dig you. You are so fun. And this is it's great. I'm having a great time having this conversation with you. So where can people find me? I'm pretty easy to find. DrSueMorter.com. DrSueMorter. It's T-E-R. People do get messed up on that. MORTER.com. And the website explains all kinds of, you know, I have courses and online stuff and year-long programs and short programs and what have you. So it's all there for the perusing. Definitely.
So people can kind of dip in and learn what they want about the energy codes, depending on kind of how much time and availability they've got to work with it.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. I get that we live busy lives and I like to present things in snippets. And I also want you to know the river goes deep. And if you want to go deep, I can take you there. And I know how to traverse that terrain since I had a big awakening 20 years ago and started putting all of my education together with this experience at a multidimensional level that changed my life forever. And so I love allowing people to find their own liberation because there's nothing like it. I used to be one of the biggest worriers you would ever hope to find. I was terrified as a child. I slept on the floor of my closet as a kid. I was so freaked out about life in general. And now that I'm in the world speaking to hundreds of thousands of people all the time, it is a mind blower, but it happened because I learned that I was identifying as my mind. I was freaked out and I just thought that's who I was. And I had no idea that it was an option, that it's something I could manage. I could control it. I could turn it on, turn it off. And until we know that, we are just plagued with the anxiousness and the stories and the what ifs and the worst case scenarios and all of that. So I had migraine headaches so bad that I was already a doctor at that point and I was missing clinic 1 to 2 days a week. It got so bad because of migraine headaches that were stress related, anxiety, worry related, all because I didn't know these things that I'm sharing now. So I could go to the clinic, I could help other people with their migraine headaches. But then, you know, 2 days later, I'd be flat out. The windows pulled, the blinds down, lights off, don't talk, can't move. Terrible, terrible, terrible way of living. And I started meditating for relief. And I instantly started having these transcendental experiences, these multidimensional experiences. I literally like woke up and changed my life forever. So for the next 5 years or so, I didn't know what hit me. I was just trying to figure out this other world that I had discovered. And then I started putting enough pieces together that I was sharing it with my patients. Patients started getting better faster. And so I started teaching workshops and then I started getting invited to go and do, you know, keynotes and TED Talks and whatnot. And so here we are. And all along the way, I've put things together that helped other people, you know, what has helped people of all the things that I was doing that helped me. And I culminated that into the energy codes. And that's why I wrote the book and am teaching as I am. So there is hope, you know, we can traverse from here to here. I definitely, definitely have. And I've devoted my life to teaching other people how to do that. So
I always trust people more who have who have run the gamut and experienced it themselves and then lead others. It's more trustable that way. And I appreciate it more. And I can sense the depth of the well within you for sure. Yeah. Dr. Sue Mortar, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's a great joy, a great joy. Happy to do it anytime. So thank you for doing what you're doing for everyone. It's very, very, very important.